Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 84, verses 1, 2, and 4. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah.
This morning, David said in the scripture, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And Father Raquel and I are glad to be back into the house of the Lord with our family, the family of God. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you gave me to enjoy my wife and relax and read and exercise and eat well. Father, thank you. That was a break, and it's so good to be back with your people. And Father, we pray that today worship service will lift up our soul into the wonderful King that we have. The our choir will praise the Lord with all power as already did, so that our heart be lifted up. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to broadcast the gospel across the world. I don't know how many people I gave the church address on the webpage so that they can listen. Father, there are people outside, like Jesus said today in Matthew 4:23, there were a multitude without pastor and shepherd. There is a multitude without God. And Father, I have the opportunity with Raquel to witness to many, hundreds of them, to tell them that the peace of God is no money, is not the car you drive, the house you live in. It is the peace that comes from God into your heart when you know Him. It's not a matter about being a Roman Catholic or a matter of being Protestant or being Muslim. It's a matter of knowing the real God and trusting that God with all your power and your might. We thank you, Lord, that we know you. We thank you that in your mercy you let us know who you are and you call us into your kingdom, and we are glad. And so, Father, as we serve you today in preaching the gospel and in teaching the things of God, help us to receive it with a spirit of obedience, and little by little change our life and mold our life in the image of Christ. I thank you, Father, for the men of the church that have grown up here in Bethel. For our brother Greg Tomlinson, my great partner in the ministry, and how he voluntarily, willingly, and happily served you. with his wife. Brother Ramil, with his, not only he works in his field, but also he, you have given him a gift to preach, and he is willing to use it. Thank you, Father, for the, we are privileged to have men like this in our church. Thank you for our deacons and for the congregation who keeps on going. This church is not Pastor Otero's church. This is Jesus' church, who will continue on after I leave, because we proclaim the name of the only Savior this world can have, Jesus, our Lord, our Father, our Chief Shepherd. In his name we pray, and thank you for the provision also. And we pray for the offering and pray for the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Lord, help me to remember I'm weak, but you are strong.
I cannot sing apart from you, for Lord, you are my song.
Although I'm prone to wander and boast in all I do, Lord, keep my eyes turned upward, so I depend on you. Depend on you, Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong,
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 562. We will be reading Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 through chapter 5, verse 2. So will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your written word by which you have taught us and revealed yourself to us by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for not leaving us sick and helpless in our sin, but have sent your Son, to whose cross you nailed our list of crimes, so that we bear them no more. We are grateful for such a wonderful salvation. We pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you, Father, that he was able to rest a short time from his labor and is now back to his labor of love. Bless him and guide him as he comes to further expose your word. We pray for those listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that you would give us understanding and enable us to put into practice the wisdom found in the scriptures. We especially pray for those who remain in unbelief, that they might believe the gospel and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. It is a joy to return with you and to be with you here after such a wonderful vacation and enjoyment in the beautiful sea that God created with turquoise colors
right on the Caribbean section of the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. And God was so gracious that at this time, usually there are rains and never rain. They just kept at 90 degrees flat and just so beautiful. And in the night, for my joy, there was cooling off to 50. No for Raquel's joy with a sweater, but it's for my joy, and it was just uncountable experiences of joy. And it's some of my friends I made over there, a lot of them, if you are listening today, because they have the address, they were wondering if I can make it after 14 hours delay on the plane, if I can make it to the pulpit. I said, I made it, and greetings, and thank you for your kindness. Always they give me the first place to go and every place so that we can have security and get into the plane at the right time. The scripture that our brother have read for us, it is not difficult to reason from the verses that our brother read, that in these verses, they already preached already for you, and I'm going to preach it again now on verse 23 of Matthew 4, because there is a vision of necessity which occasioned the much less speech we know as the Sermon on the Mount. My vacations are book reading, exercise to the top, and eating good without fear. And I read a book that Cecile McCormack gave me, and two books from Christie. Christie has books of philosophy, and it's complicated. I had to read it two times to understand it. But they were marvelous, marvelous. But I read a book that encouraged this sermon that I started before vacation and will end at the end of June on the Beatitudes. There's a mother, the mother of Abdul Elias Shakur, the priest of the Roman Catholic Church in Palestine, who was an Arab descendant, and he went into the ministry remembering his mother reading the Beatitudes, because she told him, this is the secret of life, to live like Jesus. And the book, Brothers, is just a remarkable story of the incomprehensible hatred of mankind in the light of the ignorance of God's word. So I hope that as I share the Beatitudes with you, will impress your life to have love and compassion and kindness with one another and with the world around you. Now, these words of Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are words that are the product of the time in which he lives. But also, the writing suggests that these are eternal words, words that we can use today, you and I can use today to understand. Whether you believe these words were written for eternity or for the occasion, there is a vision of necessity that brought to birth the verses that we are now about to consider in Matthew chapter 4. This vision of necessity that Jesus brought were about two things. He saw a spiritually needed multitude through all time. And when you are in vacation in resources where people come from all over the world, there were Italians and French, and there were Canadians a lot, and some Americans, I relate to Jesus and the need of those people to know Jesus. So there was a spiritual need the multitude have. And then there was a spiritual need and the ministry of the gospel through all time. So the lesson today, the lesson that we're going to have today, are lessons that will bring to your attention, first and most, your need. If you have no God, I'm going to introduce to you the need of your life. And then if you have God, also I'm going to introduce to you the need of your ministry for the gospel. And I hope that these will encourage you to keep on in the Christian life. First, a spiritual needed multitude through all time is seen. From the account of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, if you look on it, the Bible says, and seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain. While it is true that the Sermon on the Mount was spoken primarily to the disciples of the Lord Jesus, it was also clear that Jesus saw beyond the disciples the vast multitude in every age of life. He saw a great multitude. From this account, it is evident that Jesus saw the need of the multitude and the terms that I'm going to show to you. Three things are important in verse 23. He saw the multitude and the need of teaching. He saw the multitude and the need of preaching. And he saw the multitude and the need of healing. And so we're going to study that section for a moment. He saw the multitude and the need of teaching. Look at verse 23. Now Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues. By his teaching, he communicated the reality and relevance of God's revelation to man. Now remember, they only had the Old Testament at that time. And so Jesus is coming, revealing to them God's revelation to man. It is important to know that teaching comes before preaching. The first thing that Jesus did was teaching. If you move your Bible to Matthew 13 and verse 3, put your hand in there where you are now in Matthew 4, and you move to Matthew 13:3. The Bible said, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. There must be information before conversion. If conversion is going to be real. I want to tell you that. There is no easy to be converted. In Matthew 13, Jesus applies 7 parables, one after the other, teaching, teaching, teaching. And the purpose was to inform the people about the kingdom of God. With the new Pope in the Roman Catholic Church, I have time with Raquel to look until 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, we don't eat until 10, 11 o'clock in our country. So that's the time you eat, and you don't go to bed until 2 or 3 o'clock. So I was able to look into the Italian and into the German television and to listen. And one of the things that the new pastor of the church said is that the people lack teaching and therefore lack living. My friend, in Matthew 13, Jesus spoke many things in parable, teaching, promoting them, moving the people to know. There must be information before can be conversion. And then Matthew 4:23 said that he went on also preaching. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, said Matthew 4:23. He saw the multitude and committed, needing divine guidance. His preaching was the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. You notice that? He did not preach about this is the church, the head church, or this is the other. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. This was a proclamation. Preaching is a proclamation intended to produce results in the hearts of people who hear it. That's the difference between teaching and preaching. Preaching, when Jesus taught, was to give you information. And then he preached to you, and that was to provoke you to have a reaction from your heart to see what you will do. And we saw that right on the ocean, right on places. As soon as they know there is a pastor in that palapa on the corner, The people were avoiding the palapa, going out the other direction with their cigars and their, I don't say a word about smoking or anything. I just enjoy swimming and you see the coral fishes and all kinds of things. And as soon as you talk to people and so on, you say, do you want a drink? Yeah, so we have water. Oh, I know we have, the margaritas and these and one the other. And as soon as you say you are a pastor, well, how nice. And we never saw them again. And it was a blessing. Early in the morning, at 7, I was right there within my chairs and so on. And 3 or 4 palapas away, the people move away. It was good for Raquel because everybody smoked and was getting Raquel really sick. I tell you, when you teach, everybody is willing to listen and argue. But when you preach and you put a finger in the heart and say, now, what are you going to do with this truth? Then people say, I see you again. Exactly as they did to Paul in Acts 17. And so Jesus had the double ministry, actually 3 ministries. He taught the people. He informed what God is and what God said. And then he said, what are you going to do about this? I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior. I'm the head pastor. What are you going to do about that? And they left. So my friend, is the same today. It's my responsibility. It's not only just to teach you, but also to preach to you. If you move your Bible to 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and in verse 2, you will notice that the responsibility of a pastor is not only to inform you about God, but in 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 2, the Bible says, as Paul is teaching to his disciple Timothy, he says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. So you have to preach the word, you have to caruso, you have to proclaim it, you have to make an impact in the hearts of people. Now, Jesus went teaching, and then he went preaching, and if you look in verse 23 of Matthew 4, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Now, here comes the goodie. Jesus did 3 things. He went on, and he taught. And then he preached. But also he went on healing. Let me explain to you what that means so that you know then why I am not asking you to be healed by my magic hand, okay? Now, he saw the multitude and redeemed in need of divine healing. See, the ministry of healing was the manifestation of his power so that people can identify the Messiah. How the Jewish people will know that Jesus is the Messiah? The only reason, the only object that they have will be a visible demonstration. And if you move your Bible to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, the Bible reveals in a prophetic way what was the ministry of the Messiah. In Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 5, the Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgression, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. We are healed is the sign for the Jewish people to identify the Messiah. That is why, if you turn now your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, that is why Paul then takes from there in 1 Corinthians 1:22, and then he brings the whole picture open for us when he says, for the Jew require a sign. And they were okay. It's not that they are wrong. The Jew required a sign, and Jesus gave the sign.
There are seven of them in the Gospel of John, remember? The Jew required a sign. One of the signs of Jesus was healing. The Jew required a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. And that's why God raises Paul to bring the gospel in a theological manner to reach the mind of some people. Some people only are affected by the wisdom of another person. And so Jesus raises Paul and bring these letters in a magnificent way to reach the hearts of people. But to the Jewish people, he gave them the sign, the open sign of healing. And so his vision of necessity, and his visions of necessity, Jesus saw two things. He saw in a spiritual needed multitude through all the times. And our healing ministry is not to be done because we don't have a healing ministry. We have a teaching ministry and a preaching ministry, and the healing ministry is gone when the Messiah was crucified at the cross of Calvary. And so now the Jew have a better sign, the healing. They have the Messiah who died for their life. And so Jesus saw a multitude in need. They were uninformed, they were uncommitted, and they had no idea of who Jesus is. And what do you think? Is today the same? I ask people everywhere, especially Canadians who are super reforms, they blame the Canadians on the Quebec province who are Catholics, and neither the Catholics nor the Protestants, Canadians, were informed. I got sick and tired explaining to them the scripture. It's not about being a Protestant or being a Catholic. It is about to know God, the God of heaven, and the Messiah of Israel who saved us. And oh no, but in our church, you know, all the churches have traditions. And each tradition, you work out something to exalt God. But if you are not exalting God, some of the thing is that some people work these liturgies so well that they forgot to preach after that. It's nothing wrong to have a 2 hours liturgy if you have a 4 hour sermon and if you listen. But this is what happened. Jesus went on, and he saw the multitude, and he saw the necessity of teaching and preaching, and to the Jew giving the sign. And now listen, we live in America. We cannot blame the Canadians. We live in America, and we are as well uninformed and uncommitted. I even listened to a priest who says, well, he said, now that we have these theologians on the top, he doesn't know, he said, he doesn't know that the Catholic Church is in this way. You live spiritually on Sunday or all day, and then you live for yourself the rest of the week. How ignorant is that priest? How ignorant? And how many Christians, not Catholics, but Christians, all Christians, do the same? I live for God on Sunday, but from Monday through Saturday, don't bother me, I live for myself. You don't have a second of your life for yourself. If you're a Christian, no 1 second. So Jesus saw that it was in a spiritual need. And our job is not to condemn them, but to offer them information. You need to change. Look at what the scripture said. Look at what the scripture said. And they're afraid to when you bring the Bible into retreat and right by the ocean reading, they're afraid because you have your Bible that look like that, and they run away. Thank God, because Raquel was I've been affected by those Habanos and so on. I tell you. Just a book. You just, the only thing you have to do is you just go over there, lay your towel, put your Bible over there, and people will come in and look on it. And, like this is dangerous. I want to explode. How ignorant are we, no? That brings compassion in my life. That brings a lot of compassion for these people. Now, there is a spiritual need in the ministry through all the time. And if you look in Matthew 4:23, again, the Bible said, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching what? What did Jesus preach? I asked many people, and the French are the most ignorant of all. I asked them, no offense to them, but I don't got a French that I talk that have any idea. What did Jesus preach? And they don't understand. Jesus preached what the Bible says? Preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. That's what the Bible says.
And then they say, what kingdom? The American kingdom? They're all against America. They're so ignorant, you know. You mean the dollar is going to be on the top? I says, oh, get off. Let's eat some enchiladas, and now let's talk. You know, it's just unbelievable. And Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I hope that when you give a tract or talk to somebody, you don't say, now this is Bethel's kingdom, because that will be wrong as well. You just preach the gospel of the kingdom, which is in the scripture. So I'm going to show you the gospel of the kingdom to inform you. Four things today. We're going to pass a little bit, 15 minutes today. It's okay. I have energies. I have my mind full. So all right. Maybe a half hour more. That's all right. Don't worry. I'm full. I'm not hungry anymore. All right. We're going to talk about, number one, the monarch of the kingdom. The monarch of the kingdom. Number two, the standards of the kingdom. Number three, the secrets of the kingdom. You know, everybody said, the media. I love the Spanish media. So you have to listen to the German media, Spanish media, and Arab media about the election of the Pope. That's their tradition. They close the door. Oh, boy, they were ready to go with the Spanish with the thing. And blow the door. They want to know. And the 21st century, we want no secrets, they said. But there is secrets on the kingdom. I'm going to inform you, and I'm going to show it to you. And then the subjects of the kingdom. Number one, the monarch of the kingdom. Who is the king? All right. If you move your Bible to Matthew 4:17. The Lord Jesus began to preach his essential message. And in Matthew 4:17, Jesus said, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here was a king declaring and inaugurating his kingdom. The Lord Jesus was then king in person. And I'm going to go back into the Old Testament. If you move your Bible to Zechariah 9:9, page 553. Zechariah 9:9, page 553. You look what the Bible says about the kingdom. Zechariah 9:9, page 553. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Now, that's the information from the Old Testament. You move your Bible to Matthew 2, in verse 2, page 561. And then the question is placed, where is he that is born king of the Jew? For we have seen his star in the east and are coming to worship him. And so when Jesus was born, there was no doubt in those remarkable signs, people that came over there to see Jesus, that he was the king of the Jew, that he was the fulfillment of the prophecy. And so, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingly person is in the person of the Lord Jesus. Now also, he's kingly preaching. And you heard these in Matthew 4:23, when he went about all Galilee teaching in the synagogue, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. He did not preach about the church of Jerusalem. He did not preach about the Jewish religion. He preached about the gospel of the kingdom. That was his preaching. Then, he was keenly in his passion. If you move your Bible to John 19 and verse 14, page 636, John 19 and verse 14, page 636, the Bible says, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jew, behold your king. You know what he's talking here, the king, the authorities of Rome. The authorities of Rome are saying to Jesus, here is the king. Then Pilate in John 19:19, look at what he wrote. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And look at what he says. And the writing was this: Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jew. Now, some people complain about it. And John 19, verse 22, you hear the complaint. And Pilate answered, what I have written. They complain, said, take that away. He said that he is a king. And Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. Who is the monarch of the kingdom of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't ever change that. If you change that, then you are not in the kingdom of God. The only chief executive shepherd of the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ. The only monarch of the kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the standards of the kingdom. That's where everybody is off. People said there are about 7 Protestant people in Canada. Several different things. And as I talked to one, he said, I'm from this one. I got familiar to them. I forgot now, 2 years after the radio, I forgot what they believe. But we believe in the confession of so-and-so, and we believe in the confession and so-and-so. And they asked me, what is your standard? Right there in that palapa over there, there is the standards. What is it? It is the Bible. Yeah, we know that. But what is the standard? The Bible. Is that the Bible only? Right, the Bible only. You got it. The Bible only. Well, let's find out. In Romans 14 and verse 17, 669 is the page. Romans 14, 17, page 669, the Bible says, for the kingdom of God is no meat and drink. It's not a building, fellas. It's not a cathedral with stained glasses. And so the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. What else? Peace. What else? Joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Is that easy? You should mark this in your Bible. When somebody says, and what is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is no drink and meat. And I mean, it's not things of this world. How you dress and what car you drive and what kind of building you have. No. It is peace. It is first righteousness, then peace, then joy. Well, let's look on it. Righteousness, what that mean? That means holiness of life. Look at Matthew 5:20. Righteousness is holiness of life. Matthew 5:20, page 563. Matthew 5:20, page 563. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, if your righteousness is based upon a paper written by men, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm not against anybody. I'm just telling you what the Bible says so that you can choose. Righteousness means holiness. Holiness of life. Holiness of life. Also means harmony of life. Remember what they said? Righteousness, holiness of life, then peace. That's harmony of life. You know, when you are in a group of people, we were in chaos. We arrived to the airport at 5 o'clock in the morning after 4 o'clock. Leaving the hotel, you arrive there, and you're about 70 people coming back to the States. And I like to do everything ahead of time, you know, and so I have my papers ready to go to show the authorities and this and the other area, and they're all like this. So my wife says, stay here. No, I just go over there, see what's going on. All right. And the man said, we are confused, we don't know what to do. He said, well, let me help you. Let me tell you what to do. He said, we want to go to America. He said, yeah, but the plane is broken. So we get the next plane. Oh, you cannot do that. The law said you had to fulfill this and this and this. You maybe have a plane tonight. So I said, well, let's tell the people. So, oh, no. He said, they will, no, in America, you inform people. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, like, I said, what are you doing? I stood in it. So I said, we are not going anywhere. He said, why? No, don't get mad. I said, the plane is broken. And there is no plane, and this is Mexico, so no offense to anybody. Let's have fun. All right, what is vouchers to eat? You know, so they got vouchers to eat and so on. And 12 hours? 12 hours. And people say, oh, no, I said, don't worry about it. I have to work at 11 o'clock. You people don't have to work. I have to be there at 11 o'clock. Oh, they cut my head. So I said, now don't worry about it. We go to the plaza. And say, you people pay for the transportation. They pay for the transport. I organize it. I organize it all, put it all together. Go to the plaza. We enjoy it. We spend money in your business. Good. Came back, then still no news. And some people say, all right. I said, you know, someone said, how can you be so cool? I said, well, you have peace with God first. You don't get cool. Like I said, you don't get cool like this. You know, I'm inside, I'm boiling. I will get those people. But when you have peace with God and you can do nothing, peace with God. Only one person. I look to everybody. Peace with God. I said, I look at it. And everybody, only one. Say, why is that? Okay, Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1. You know, after the book of Acts, the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. You see that? Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus. So, what's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God, the righteousness, a holy life, a life who shines for the Lord Jesus according to His standards. A life of peace. You have peace with God, that's all you need. Now also you need the peace of God. Go to Philippians 4:7. You need the peace of God. You have peace yourself with God. Now you need the peace of God in you. And in Philippians 4:7, the Bible says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, not only you need peace with God, the peace of God, but you need peace on this earth. Like when you are in situations like God put us 2 days ago, you need peace on earth. Now, let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 27, page 633. John 14, 27, page 633. And Jesus promised that peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace, said Jesus, I give unto you. My peace. So there's no excuse for us Christians to blow up. My peace. My peace. There was a lady who was divorced, and she said, everybody criticized me. I said, I feel sorry about it. I said, why? About the people that criticize you. Because divorce is not something nice, but it's something that happened in life. Now, what you need to do is pick up the pieces and have peace, the peace of God in your life. You don't need to look for another guy. You need to look for God. And you need to get God into your life to have peace and control. And so what's the kingdom of God? It's holiness of life. It's harmony of life. If you have not the peace of God and you have no peace with God and know the peace of Jesus on this earth, you have no harmony in your life and you need a lot of pills to control your heart. Also, there is happiness in this world, in this life. You remember in Romans 14:17, there was righteousness, peace, and joy. Turn your Bible to John 15:11. John 15:11, happiness of life. John 15:11, happiness of life. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I tell you, if you like to have joy because of your work, one day you lose your job. What are you going to do? Be unhappy? If you want to have joy because of your house, one day you lose your house. What are you going to do? But there is a joy that never goes away, and it's the joy of God. And so that's the kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God, nobody wants to hear it. They want to hear magic. Magic. Whether you're Roman or Protestant, they want to get magic. They want to have things in this world. And God said, the kingdom of God is not this world. This is temporary. The kingdom of God is an inner strength that have control. In spite of your effort. In spite of your chaos. Now, the secret of the kingdom. Remember? I want to tell you the secret of the kingdom. There is a purpose for life. Look at in Jesus' prayer, Matthew 6:10. Matthew 6:10. There are two secrets. Purpose for our life and power for our life. That's the secret of the kingdom. Here is what it is. Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We must be living out a life of holiness, harmony, and happiness within the will of God. That's why Jesus was teaching. Because if you are not informed in the scripture, how do you know the will of God? The will of God is not what anybody writes in a paper, whether it's a Roman Catholic or a Protestant. The will of God is what God wrote in the Bible. And if you are not informed from the Bible, either by yourself reading or by your pastor teaching you, then how are you going to live this life of holiness and peace and joy if you have not the will of God, how to manage it yourself? So one of the secrets of the kingdom is a purpose for our life, the will of God. I must do the will of God today. I must do the will of God now under these circumstances. Now, number two, power for our life. You're in Matthew 6. Go to Matthew 6:13. Jesus said, "I lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom." And what else? And the power. And the power. See, the monarch of the kingdom is Jesus. The standards of the kingdoms are heavenly. And the secret of the kingdoms are the revelation of his will and his power. Some of the things of his will, when you look on it, you say, man, I cannot do it. But God will give you the power to do it. God will give you that power. Now the subjects of the kingdom. Who are they? Are the Jewish people? The new Pope is accused that he said that only Christians who are Roman Catholic go to heaven. Now, I bought a book from him long time ago because he's a good theologian. I bought a book who said, "Know My Faith" is the book. And "Know My Faith," he described the possibilities of the Bible. But then he described also the canon of the Catholic Church, which he defended so well under the other Pope. And he said that only a person who belongs within the umbrella of the Catholic Church is saved and is not saved. So I said, well, that's, people say, well, that's terrible. Well, not terrible. That's his opinion and his understanding. Now, for me now, is to look into the scripture. Let's go to Colossians 1:12. All right, the subjects of the kingdom. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Give thanks unto the Father, said the scripture, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I don't have to die to be a saint. I'm a saint now that I'm a believer. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us where? Into the kingdom of his dear son. Do you see it? Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 and 13. God has taken you from the power of the evil one and placed you into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has nothing to do with an earthly church whatsoever. No church, Protestant or Roman Catholic, had the monopoly to say, unless you are a member of my church and protected by my liturgy, you will be a believer. No one. The Bible said, when God gave you light and you have come to believe, look at the verses again, have made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints, who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us. That's a great translation in the King James. Translated us, transported us into the kingdom of his dear son. Thank God. Thank God. These are the subjects of the kingdom. Now, who are they? Verse 13. Have been delivered from the darkness to God. Why do we need to be delivered? You know, why do we need to be delivered? Can I walk in and be a Christian anytime I want to? Let's look in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, page 439. Isaiah 59 and verse 2, page 439. And look at what Isaiah tells us. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. My iniquities. I was born in iniquity. I was born in sin, and I cannot hear God, even though hundreds of people, even though my mother would have spent 12 years in taking me to Sunday school, spanking me for not reading the Bible, forcing me to read the scripture. I cannot hear because my iniquities have separated me from God, said the scripture. How then Gabriel Otero becomes a pastor and preach? Well, there is a power. Remember that we read the power. Let's go to John 6. That's a great chapter of the Bible. John 6, verse 44. Jesus said, no man come unto me. John 6, 44. No man come unto me except what? The Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up by the last day. No man come to me. No one, whether born in Roman Catholicism or born in the Protestant church, no one, or born in Muslim or Buddhist, no one comes to God. It's a God brings you in. You see that? Now, how does God, how God does the work? Well, Romans 10:17. Remember Romans 10:17? Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing what? The word of God. So God produces faith. But if you don't read the scripture, you're going to end up dying as an unbeliever and end up in hell. I'm sorry, I had to say that. Not because I like it, but because I want to inform you. And you're never going to come to believe unless you start reading the Bible. Where? Any place you want to. Open there and go to the end and go in the beginning. Now, I have a formula. You read a book of Proverbs, and I tell you, it will help you. You read a chapter a day. Today is 24, you read chapter 24. Tomorrow, 25th, you read chapter 25. It's going to help you. Now, who's going to cause me to believe? In Galatians 2:16, the Bible said, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. When God draws you to him, when God brings you to him, when God brings you to the altar for conviction, he put that perfect faith of the Son into your heart, and you believe. Remember the jail man in Acts 16:30 and 31? The Bible said that this man brought Paul and Silas out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. They don't say, read the confession number 2, 3, 4, 5. Become a member of the Church of Syria, or the Church of Jerusalem. They say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What I learned in this vacation is that the world is really corrupted, to the point of not having even common sense of the things that I saw in a small beach there, 80 kilometers on the other side of the peninsula of Yucatan. Whether they are French or Americans or German or Canadians, some people lost even their common decency of their life. Amazing. But we all, you know, we all lost everything. We all are in the same boat, unless we had that vision of necessity. My brother, there is a vision of necessity. Morning Hill is lost. The town you live is lost, and we need to bring the Bible to them. So there is a song I wish I can sing. There is a song called this way. People know, people need the Lord. And each time I go out from this town, I see it. Each time I talk to people in the town, I see it. And you want to bring a Bible to them, and they don't want, they're scared. But we were all, remember, you too were in sin and iniquity. You too were, like everybody else, lost. But now you belong to the kingdom of God. You know, I love to read from the Oxford University in Cambridge. I became associated with them in researching the scripture of the original manuscripts. And I read from time to time some of the writings of this holy man of the past. In England, there was a factory, a paper factory, that makes the finest stationery. And one day, a man touring the factory asked what it was made from. And he was showing a huge pile of rags. And the man wouldn't believe it. So 6 weeks later, he received a package of paper from the company with the initials embossed on it. On the first page were written these words, "Dirty rags transforms." That's what we are. That's what we are. Dirty rags transformed by God. By God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you have given us today these wonders of your word. Jesus goes on and teach and preach and heal to demonstrate that he is the Messiah. And then he looks at the multitude and he knows they have a need. And so we too, Father, give us a holy life. Give us a life of harmony with you through the peace of Jesus. And give us a life of joy where we have the tranquility of doing God's will regardless. Oh, Father, we don't learn this in one day. We have the whole life to learn. And so my point today is not that we change from one day to the other in the splendor of a mighty God, but that we may pray and ask God for mercy, that he will be able to change all of us little by little by little until we come in the image of Christ. And at the same time, that we, rather than judging people or religions or denominations, whatever, that we may have compassion on people, inform them, preach to them, and show them the way. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Safely. trusting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, under his wings, hope from his love can sever. Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely.
Stand, please, for the benediction, reminding you that we have a dinner to follow, and I hope you be with us. Let's pray together. Unto the King Eternal, Immortal, Invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever.